Welcome to Being, the podcast that brings the hive alive. We're your hosts, Jesse Ives-Kurtzer and Rabbi Kroll, and today we have on two very special guests. Introduce yourself.
I'm Rowan Harari.
Senior SAR.
Fran Jacobson, fellow.
So today we want to talk a little about the fellow experience at SAR and how that plays out for students as well, and what that means. So Ephraim, if you just want to start and tell us a little about yourself, how you grew up, how you ended up at SAR.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Philadelphia, just outside of Philadelphia, Lower Merion.
Bala Kinwood.
Mm-hmm. Bala Kinwood. Yeah, Rebecca Cole knows.
Yeah.
I grew up one of seven siblings. One of seven kids, you know, six siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up, I went to Kohelet Yeshiva High School, small school. It's about 100 kids, boys and girls, all told. So it's, you know, only about like a seven.
That's K through 12.
No, right. I mean,
it's not 700.
It's 100.
I missed that. Okay, 100 high schoolers.
100 in the high schoolers. Mm-hmm. About a seventh of the size of the school. So it's a big difference. You know, had 28 kids in my high school class, in my grade. After that, I went to Yeshiva Hakotel, studied for about 2 years, and then went to the Army.
Just pointing out, I mean, just as I'm interrupting Ephraim, they have a lot of staff in our schools, Yeshiva Hakotel alumni. I for one, for many years ago. Yeah, I got like, yeah, Rabbi Book, Rabbi Gottesman, Rabbi Aryeh. There's a lot.
Former fellows as well.
Yes, as well. Sorry for interrupting. Go
anyways,
ahead.
Anyways, yeah, Hakotel, I went to the Israeli Army for a little bit, just stint there for a year and a half. Then I went to Yeshiva University, learned there, studied biochemistry. And then now I am here for the year in a gap year. Only my fourth gap year, and before I go to medical school. So that's the plan.
If I may, I mean, do you have set plans yet of where you're figuring that out right now?
Figuring out. I'll let you know in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wish you all the best.
Now, Rowan, you want to tell us about yourself, how you ended up at SAR? Also,
sure.
I'm sure quickly say you might have noticed, our unusual garb today.
Oh, it is. I don't usually wear this yarmulke.
It's Sting Night, so we're all in our best yellow and black senior jerseys.
New faculty didn't get such good stuff, apparently.
Yeah. Yellow, black, and gray.
Not bad.
Yeah, sure. I'm from Englewood, New Jersey. I come from a family. I have four siblings. Great stuff. Went to BPY, which is a really small school in Paramus for middle school and basically all of elementary school and preschool. And I graduated, I think there were 26 kids in my grade.
Mm.
And then I came to here, which is like 180 kids in my grade.
Wonderful.
That's pretty great.
That's great. Can I ask Ephraim, I'm curious about, kind of a couple things. I want to ask a question about your work in the Fellows Program. Before I get into like why you chose to do it, just tell us a little bit about like what you do. I know that you have a little bit, maybe an unconventional, a little bit different of arrangement. You're also working in chemistry as well. Share us a little bit like how you're split, what your involvement is in those kind of things.
It's Toro Mada, Pshuto Kamashmo.
Wow, that's really
Toro
Mada, grand conversation. You got a lot of stuff going on here.
But yeah, so basically I'm primarily a fellow, I would say. You know, I sit in the Beit Midrash most of the time. I have some, you know, some small groups I teach, you know, maybe 6 to 8 or some. I'm more of a Sholem Aish, so with the larger class, helping them out when they have questions. Also just always around in case people have questions, want to learn. Like today's a test today, so everyone's coming up, you know, cramming in before the test. Lots of questions, Kamaras, I've never seen before.
But a Talmud Chacham like yourself who is generally holding an Olf Shas,
right?
Should not have a problem supporting any student in any class.
Yes, and then also so on mostly Tuesdays, which is today. Also, I have like I assist with the chemistry lab, so help the students. You know, it's kind of fun. You get to see them. Yet also get to interact with a lot more students, but also see them, you know, in non-Torah environments, which is also interesting just to kind of compare the two.
Interesting. Oh, actually, I'm going to dig a little bit on that one. Yeah. I'm just curious, do you have any kids you work with in the chemistry labs who are also kids you learn with and a fellow in the Beit Midrash?
For sure. Tons of them.
Without naming names, like what's something like anything, I'd say, let's stick to positive stuff. Yeah. Anything positive that you've noticed that you've learned by seeing a kid in a different environment? Than, you know, just in the Beit Midrash?
I mean, well, definitely built the relationship. It's a lot stronger. You know, first of all, we could be learning something, and then all of a sudden they ask me a chemistry question. We're learning Kiddushin. I mean, like, great. but also, it's always, you know, the relationship's deeper. So they're less afraid to ask me, like, kind of deeper questions, I would say, which is good.
I think there's an interesting thing here that when you're learning the Beit Midrash, you're learning together versus I think when you're learning in the chemistry lab, it's more of like an individual, like people are taking more individual notes. There's less, I think, of a sense of like sharing your like what you're learning and what you're thinking. Yeah. Have you had the experience?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, a little bit. Maybe they also have partners in the lab, but I definitely like the small groups for sure in the Beit Midrash. You get to, you know, we actually learned in the Gemara. It's in Kiddushin. It comes up. It says two Talmidei Chachamim who are learning. They start out hating each other, but end up loving each other. And what the idea is that they. You know, they start, so everyone, you know, if you've ever been in the Beit Midrash, you're fighting, it's loud, you got to yell at each other. But when you're in the group, you kind of, when you learn together, you kind of get to a much, much greater result. I don't know, and when you, as you continue. But yeah, so group learning, I like.
Jump over to you, Rowan, very quickly. SAR Beit Midrash is the center of everything. And I think it can be very both like exciting and daunting, particularly for the kids that come from smaller schools. You talk about like that, just like seeing that visual when you walk in of like the energy. I don't know if you remember freshman year, but reflect a little bit on how that's been.
It's an interesting question because I really don't remember freshman year so much. However, I do remember having fellows for the first time, and it was such a unique experience for me because I had never had that sort of Beit Midrash experience and like learning in a group as opposed to a chavruta or in a class setting. And I think it's so interesting because you're not necessarily like locked in the same way that you are in class. Like there's a lot more interpersonal stuff going on, a lot of bonding between the kids. And I actually think that that helps make the learning more meaningful in the end in some cases because you feel more of a relationship with the people that you're learning with.
That's interesting. Jesse, I'm not sure if... I hadn't really thought about this before, but I think it might be interesting to talk a little bit about almost like the origins of the Fellows Program and the different iterations it's gone through into where we are right now. It's interesting, in the earliest years of the school, and probably for the first decade or so of the school, maybe a little bit less than that, we had the Fellows Program also included shlichim from Israel. So we had, for a number of years, we had two women who would come like post-army and be fellows. And like usually it was like four guys who had just finished Hesder and were coming to spend like a gap year at part of the Kol Torah Mitzion. That was part of it. It initially added an Israeli flavor to the learning in school as well. We ended up like dropping that because it became like almost impossible to recruit really good people to join that. And so at some point we said to ourselves, it's more important for us to have really strong fellows who can relate to the kids, who can teach well, than it is to, you know, sort of send that message. We could find other spaces in the school to communicate a strong, like, you know, Zionist message that kids can absorb and learn from. And so we shifted to finding fellows who kids could relate to much more as like a feature of what we were looking for. And then it's been, it's kind of been that's been the model we've had for the past number of years. I think with the goal being, well, it's an interesting question. Like, what is the goal? Like, why not just have teachers teaching classes? Like, what are we bringing the Beit Midrash learning with fellows in small groups or in supervised like chavrutas? What's the purpose? I'll share that in a second. I'm just curious. I could ask like, you know, Jesse and Rowan, both, although Jesse is the host, he also is a student at our school.
I am.
Little known fact.
I wonder if at some point, if Jesse like dressed up like a grown up, if like an eighth grader comes and visits, whether they might think you are a staff member.
Twice in the last month, I have been stopped by security outside of SAR. Who have asked me, like, hi, who are you?
Oh.
And I've like had like a weird moment of like, oh, I go here. Like one time they made me go to the security desk. And then I had to like check and like, oh, hi. And another time they were like, oh, sorry. Which I think is good, actually.
Great. By the way, so I'll say this. Now that I'm saying this, I remember, without naming names, I was just point, Jesse and I joked earlier in the year. There was a point at the beginning of the year when, you know, not everybody knows who all the fellows are. We suspect that there was a staff member who thought that Jesse was a fellow and not a student.
I believe they thought I was a Ephraim.
Sure. Oh, yeah. They thought you were the same person.
That is what happened.
I was referred to as a Ephraim, and the staff member asked who is that fellow.
Oh, okay, interesting. So maybe if that staff member listens to this podcast, maybe they'll come forward and share that. If not, well, everyone watching it will just have to wonder who that staff member was. It'll be our little secret. Yeah, that's a fun little thing to note. I'm curious, both from your perspective as students going through the school now for almost 4 years, gee, your second semester senior starting yesterday. Holy moly. That being said, you know, what have you like? I will share with you in a moment what the goals are. I'm curious whether the goals were achieved. If you want to sort of like express your experience, sort of like interact with fellows, I think different kids have different, you know, kind of the extents to which they interact with fellows and benefit from fellows is different. I'm curious if you can share your personal experience, you know, how that played out for you, and then we'll talk about whether it achieves certain goals we were looking for. I don't know, either of you can go. Who wants to go first?
Sure. This year, I don't have a specific fellows period, so I'm not doing that group learning, but we do have a fellow that sits in our class. Shout out, Obi, legend.
Legend, indeed.
And it's pretty awesome to just have somebody there who you know can help you out that's not necessarily the teacher if the teacher's already busy with something, or just to ask general halachic questions. It's great to have someone there that's not as, I guess, for someone who's new, daunting to approach as a teacher versus someone who's younger and more, I guess, like a peer in relation to.
I just want to point out that the class that Rowan sits in, which she described the very daunting teacher she's very afraid of, is me. I am your teacher, and Obi is the fellow in our is the Shalom Meshiv
for freshmen.
If they thought because I was going to say, like, she was talking about her anonymous teacher. I'm sitting next to you. Are you afraid of me, Rowan?
He's terrifying.
Yeah, I'll also add that. I think also you always want to show a certain level of respect to your teachers, which I think equally to the fellows. But I think, and that can sometimes present itself that you're in the, like the fear, especially, as you're saying, for freshmen. And I think there's something nice about having, especially for topics like Gemara and Tanakh, like people you can really like approach with more of those questions and ask for help and not be afraid as much, just because of like proximity and age, I think more. I also think what's nice separately about the fellows is that, I didn't fully get this, but a lot of the fellows are actually like within a few years of each other, but not like the exact same like year, and also from very different backgrounds. I think it's very nice to have like a lot of those different like kind of like either religious role models or something like similar to that. Like we've had some right now, like Rabbi Zach Beer is a fellow, and he's like has like a shul. First, like Ephraim, you don't have a shul.
No shul.
Maybe soon. But I think there's something very cool about that, to have like people in different places in their life a little bit.
Okay, great. I'm happy to. Robin, you want to say something else?
I was just going to say it's also a lot easier to like kind of form bits with fellows. And when you're in a fellows group, it's just like the automatic bonding, and you have all of these bits by getting to know each other and like through the learning. That really.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear the way you guys describe that, because I'd say like, you know, the way I think of the fellows program has a few important goals. One of them is to foster a greater sense of like community around Torah learning. And, you know, you're doing that in those small groups by developing some of those bits, so that the positive vibes that you develop around Torah learning, sort of fostered by a fellow in that smaller group, which it feels a little more, you know, I'd say, at ease, perhaps, than in the classroom. You know, that's really important, and something that I think allows kids to therefore feel a greater sense of connection to Torah. The more that you enjoy that experience of Torah learning and that sort of like casual environment, the more likely it is that you're going to like love Torah and identify with Torah. That's one thing. The other thing I was going to say is like, I don't want to, you know, make Ephraim blush too much, but part of the idea is, as you said, also having role models. It's like showing, students like great, you know, young men and women who, some of whom are choosing a career in chinuch, but also some were choosing a career in other professional fields like medicine. And like, it's like, you know, that's like a beautiful thing to see, to show kids that, you know, again, I don't want to make you blush or give you too swelled of a head, Ephraim, but it's like a really nice thing that in the year between his finishing undergrad and going to med school, he's giving back and learning Torah and making Torah a significant part of his daily kind of experience. Seeing that is something really, I think it's something really valuable for kids. And finally, I think the thing I'd say is giving kids that opportunity to be in the Beit Midrash, as you described it, is like critical. There is something really powerful about kids showing up in the Beit Midrash learning Bechavruta with Shoal Meshev or in small groups, and you see other people learning. There's nothing I love more about our school than walking into the Beit Midrash when it is packed and there's a lot of like Torah learning going on. I mean, there might be some Bittul Torah going on as well, but that's part of Torah learning. You can't go straight. You need to have a little bit of controlled Bittul Torah. But there is something really incredible about that vibe, and the fellows create that vibe.
Yeah. Ephraim, so can you also reflect a little bit about coming to SAR versus as such a small high school, especially like out of town versus in town? And I think SAR is one of these schools that, you know, not toot our own horn, but like I think does have like a big reputation and is very well known.
Let's go Sting.
Let's go Sting.
Of course. And talk a little bit about that, like impressions going in versus like what actually, and you also, I believe your grandfather's on the board, correct? So
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so you also have a little bit of SAR connection already. But
before you even answer that question, I have a question for you. As an out-of-towner as well, growing up in Chicago, do you take offense or are you like, okay, the fact that they call it's an in-town school versus an out-of-town? What makes, like, you know, I went to Yeshiva for the year after I graduated high school from Chicago a long time ago, I had never been called an out-of-towner before. I was called an out-of-towner. At first, I took offense, and then I was like, you know what? I like it. It's a badge of pride, yeah. Not shame.
My family, we always joke. We say it's shorter to drive from Philly to New York than New York to Philly. We know what's up. New York, everything's outside New York. It must be super far away. It's okay. Fine. To answer your question, I think I went in with an open mind. Like, obviously, I knew a lot about it, but I kind of decided there was so much I'm not going to know what's going on. I just got to roll with it. And I think it makes it fun that way when you can just come in and just start understanding, just keep your eyes open, lots of different bits. It's a total different language sometimes, Yeshiva League, and we don't have that. We play, a lot of those schools that Kohela plays in basketball, we lost to, and it was embarrassing. And, yeah, you know, a lot of not like Kohela schools. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, the whole environment, the whole interconnectedness with all the other schools and everything like that was just something that was new to me. It's kind of cool to see, like, the real sense of definitely interconnected, deep sense of community that goes on over here.
Can I push a little bit? I think we've all said a lot of really nice things and, like, I'm feeling really good about our school and that's all wonderful and everything like that. I just want to, you know, I don't want to put you too much on the spot, Ephraim, but I think there's probably also some challenges about being a fellow. In other words, if I'm a teacher in the classroom, I'm the guy who at the end of the day wields the power. I give grades. I can call home. I've got the big desk in the front of the room that means I'm in charge. And that power dynamic is much more delineated and clear. I mean, I'm not generally a scary guy, I don't think, Rowan, unless you think I am. But the dynamic is clear. Who's in charge? One of the things that I think is probably a little more complicated is that fellows play a role that's more akin to a camp counselor in certain respects.
I totally agree.
And, you know, I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about navigating that. To what extent do you feel it's been challenging? How have you managed some of those challenges? And what you think about it?
Yeah, so for sure. So I was camp counselor, Moshava, born and bred.
Okay.
And so I was served as a camp counselor for a few summers. And I think that if I were to say sum up my job in one word, I'd probably say very similar to a camp counselor. Like, you know, a little informal education, little role model, you know, and you got to earn the respect. I think that's the truth. You know, you don't have the desk to sit in front of. So you're not going to earn it with everybody. There's some people who are just, you know, going to be a little bit on the tougher side for sure. And we still have that now. But I think, you know, throughout the year, it's been about, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now, and definitely earned the respect with a lot of students. And I think that once we built the relationship, that's key. Uh-huh. Building the relationship. So, you know, every student walks in and say, can we do an icebreaker? Can we do an icebreaker? You know, we didn't do learning for the first bunch of fellow sessions.
What's your best icebreaker this year?
I don't know. Serial killer trait. That's one of my favorite ones. Yeah. Like, what's something you do that's like nobody else does?
Serial killer trait? Yeah. I'm like the king of icebreakers. I've never heard of that one.
What's like an insane?
Meaning, if you put milk in before the cereal. Like,
oh, what? I get it. Oh, like,
they would get you because no one else does that.
I understand.
Like, okay. I like sometimes like take like a handful of pasta.
Yeah.
A handful of pasta. Like, that's ketchup, a cereal
like,
killer
ketchup
trait.
On it and then like yeah. eat it. And then I'm.
Oh.
Like, you don't set alarms on fives or tens, only on sixes and.
Oh,
sevens.
That's wow. I'm starting to love this icebreaker right now.
Exactly.
I'm going to think about it a lot.
Like
that. Yeah. That's dangerous.
Exactly.
That's dangerous.
It's dangerous. No pun intended.
Back to the fellows thing though. I think I could see a challenge also in the fact that fellows is supposed to be like a learning leash ma sort of experience. Mm. And if you're not having the pressure of a test or a quiz behind the learning, for some kids that could be really beneficial because it teaches them how to learn it in a different way than they had before. But for some kids, I could see that being sort of a de-stressor to like a large extent that could make them lock out.
Yeah. I think that probably speaks to some of the variability of again the wide range of kids and the variability of the experience. I think for some kids, I this is something I've been thinking about a lot recently. It seems to me maybe it's a little more too insider baseball for our podcast, but I'll just say it anyways. It seems to me, as I've been looking around and talking to fellows, it feels like the Shoel Umeshiv model of being the advisor. Who's not downloading information into the minds of the students and teaching them like this sheet or whatever that the teacher, but is actually helping kids work bechavruta. To me, feels like it's generally, again, not always, but generally more productive than having a small group. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I have two different Mas Medium classes. She, uh-huh. I mean, one's technically Mas Medium, one's not. But, you know, they do Chavrusa three times a week or whatever, four times a week, and it's great.
That seems to be a little bit, there's some circumstances if you're having, like, a fellows, if you're doing some of the classes that do Bikyut, where you want to own something that you're actually teaching. But I think generally, it's like having kids do the active, kids be active Bechavruta with fellows, sitting down with them, helping them, forming community and friendships and relationships, all that stuff. But I think that's probably a better, yields better learning outcomes, I would think.
A little separate note, just on topic of the SAR Baby Drash. I don't know if you guys have recently seen Rabbi Nadel's recent invention.
Oh, I have seen the invention.
Mr. Sarni.
The shoot.
People should know about the shoot shoot.
I have never heard of this.
Shoot.
Yes. Shelot Uchuvot. That's Shin Vav Tuff. The shoot? Shoot. C-H-U-T-E. He has set up a shoot from every floor in the school.
Yeah.
Six, three, four, five, six. It goes straight down into the Beit Midrash. So if somebody has a question, they can shoot through the shoot, and somebody in the Beit Midrash will get it. And I suppose answer it.
That is so
shoot
clever.
It's a clever pun, I suppose. We'll see how it works out. What do you think, Jesse?
I loved that. Like that was like one of like the greatest things I've seen.
Rabbi Nadel was very excited about
Rabbi
the shoot
Nadel,
shoot.
Mr. Sarni collab. I mean,
another great grand
what
conversation
what
moment.
What a
duo. That is, by the way, excellent duo. Yeah, Rabbi Nadel and Mr. Sarni.
Top duo. Yeah.
That's one
even
for the ages.
Even if it doesn't work out fully, like, you know, practically it'll have its flaws. I mean, that's right there is what SAR is about, that the shoot.
Shoot says a lot about SAR. I totally agree with that. I think as we start to move towards, like, you know, kind of closing out a little bit, I actually think we should kind of ask, Ephraim and Rowan a couple questions about just like, you know, as you're moving forward. I guess I'm curious to talk about, like, you know, again, you still have – whole semester to go forward for this year.
Yeah.
You got a lot more learning to go, a lot more fellowing to go. What's something that, you know, you feel like you've gained from this experience so far that you might take into, you know, the next stages of your life? I'm curious if you can reflect on that and also just reflect on just like, you know, just what you've gained from this at SAR more broadly.
Yeah. So I originally said that I call this a gap year, but a lot of people use a different word. They call it the growth year. I like that, especially for this, my circumstance, because, you know, I'm teaching the kids, but I think it's more of like a co-teaching situation. Like I'm learning a lot every day also. Different questions that I never thought of, different, you know, perspectives that I'd never met before, never encountered. And just, I learn a lot, and I definitely going forward and, you know, in my life, it's kind of cool to see, you know, where kids are at now and how it's, you know, where we're at just in general. And I grow a lot from it, I think, every day. And I hope to do so for the next 6 months.
Curious also if you have, again, you've described what was an unconventional path. I mean, you were a couple years in the Army. You got, you know, when? How long did you get married?
Two and a half. Yeah.
2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, he's been married for a couple of years. You're serving here as a fellow. Who would you recommend this program to going forward in the future?
I don't know. Anyone. I mean, honestly, anybody who's looking for either to have an connections with kid for sure. Influence maybe as a role model. Not an active influence, but more of a passive influence, I would say. And also just time to learn and grow. So it really can fit everyone. I think it's cool to see, you know, Jesse said before, we've lots of different people here. And it's good for the kids to see that you can take your life in a lot of different ways and kind of excel in any of them just along towards part of the process. And I think that's a nice idea that the Fellows program kind of shows.
Incredible. And a similar thing to you, Rowan, do you have some reflections from the Fellows program and something you would want to take from it or you've learned from it?
And what do you plan to do next year? Do you know what you're doing next year? Okay, not sure. Okay,
broadly.
Yeah, you should be a fellow next year. Rowan, little do you know that this entire podcast was just a setup to make sure that you'd be able to commit to being a fellow three years from now. Sign on the dotted line, Rowan. We want you to be a fellow. You can do it, Rowan. And when you are a fellow in 3-4 years from now, we're going to play this podcast for the entire school. Okay, Rowan, tell us
I'm
a little.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. Answer Jesse's question.
Sure. Well, I mean, sort of piggybacking off of Ephraim, I think that SAR is great because of the range of perspectives, and especially when you're in fellows, that becomes really apparent. And I think that, I mean, it really gives off a message of, like, learn with anyone. And, like, I want to carry that with me, and I want to be able to learn wherever I go, I guess, throughout life, just taking that message with me, especially in any Bait Me Drush, not just the SAR one, but obviously the SAR one will have a special place in my heart always.
Of course. Well, that was very beautiful. Really appreciate Ephraim and Rowan taking the time out today for your busy schedule with Sting Night tonight. We hope that by the time this podcast is dropped, SAR will have a doubleheader victory tonight. With the girls and the boys coming out victorious. But, you know, who knows? We're going to have a good time no matter what. I have a feeling the vibes are going to be positive and there's going to be a lot of energy.
Budget.
Yes, sir. Jesse, it's been a pleasure serving as your co-host again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Let's go, Steve.